السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. الحمد لله. My students, first of all, apology. Last week we couldn't do the class. I couldn't attend. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we continue engage in learning and teaching and try to connect with Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, especially Afdalul Anbiya Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we have discussed, learning, mentioning, sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's an ibadah, act of worship. And there is a beautiful dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, and the pious predecessors used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawli wa amal. Wallah, I ask for Jannah and whatever actions which will make us get closer to Jannah. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq to act according to that. Allah, give us tawfiq to do those a'mal which will make us closer to Jannah. So this is one of the acts, inshaAllah, which will make our journey easy towards the Jannah. And then there is another dua. Oh Allah, make us, give us the love of those who, people who love you. Allah grant us hubbak, hubba nabiyyik, love of you and love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love of his family. And Allah give us, make the iman, habib ilayna al-iman, wa zayyinhu fi qulubina. Allah make iman beautiful upon us. Beautify the iman and give the love of iman. All these are matters which is connected to iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. On our last two sessions, the first session we went into the introduction of seerah, and on our second session we went and learned about the ancestry of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we begin from Adam alayhi salam, how the humanity spread, qabail, how the different tribes went around. And then we spoke about the civilization in Yemen, and then from the civilization of Yemen, how Jurhum came and settled in Mecca, and how Ismail alayhi salam got married into the tribe of Jurhum, where the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we learned the entire ancestry of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Before we go in to the birth of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the incident which happened the surrounding the mawlid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll just discuss certain things with regard to the ancestry of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the family members, and you know, the ancestors, and the certain special blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the family descendant of Ismail alayhi salam, and especially from the descendant of Ismail alayhi salam, Adnan, and from Adnan the Quraysh, and the Quraysh from the descendants of Quraysh, Qusay ibn Kilab, and from the descendants of Qusay is the Hashim, that is Abdul Muttalib Hashim, the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, how he was blessed. Now we went through that Jurhum is a tribe which migrated from Yemen and they settled in Mecca. They were in charge of political affairs of Mecca, and the descendant of Ismail alayhi salam is in charge for religious affairs, and they were in charge of Zamzam. Now it's about 2000 years, roughly about 2000 years when Jurhum was living in Mecca, the descendant of Ismail alayhi salam. Now they have spread right around the Arabia, Hijaz, all over. They have, you know, spread around. So when you, it's about in these 2000 years, the Jurhum got corrupted. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their authority away. And this is the sin of
Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's a tradition, time to time some people have the authority, then the authority goes away. There is another tribe which move into Hijaz, that is the surrounding of Mecca and Medina, this Arabia, from Yemen, is called Khuza'a. The Khuza'a actually fought with Jurhum and they took over the entire Mecca. Now they are responsible. Now when this battle was taking place, the Jurhum, what they did was, they actually covered the Zamzam. And they took, there was a lot of treasures in the Kaaba, they took those treasures and they covered the Zamzam and they left Mecca. So around, now the Khuza'a is in charge, in Khuza'a there was a very known figure, very respected figure called Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i. I want you to remember him. Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i is the first person who introduced idol worship to Arabia, idol worship to actually Hijaz, Mecca. He is the one who brought an idol from Sham, that is the area of Syria, Palestine, Lebanon and Jordan. The capital of that entire area is Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa, Bayt al-Maqdis, you know, that surrounding area. So that's where Sham. Now, but these days, Sham is being translated as Syria, but is actually not Syria alone. So this is the entire surrounding. So Amr ibn al-Luhay is the first person who introduced idol worship to Mecca. I want you to remember his name, so because it connected with the religious matters, how it got corrupted, Amr ibn al-Luhay. And the story of Amr ibn al-Luhay, I will just mention it. Amr ibn al-Luhay was a very respectable person. He used to travel around everywhere. He was in charge of Khuza'a. He was, you know, a responsible leader. When he went to that part, he saw people worshipping different idols. He asked them. He was very inquisitive. They said, you know, these are the people. These idols are the mediators between us and Almighty. And when it comes to, you know, war affairs, we go to this idol. When it comes to sustenance, we go to this idol. So different idols. Then he said, it's something good. It's something nice idea. So he asked them for an idol. And then he brought that idol to Mecca. And he, because he was a very respectable person in Mecca, so people start following him. So that's why a group of people who start doing idol worship, even from the Quraysh, there was a lot of idol worship taking place. But not everybody was doing it. There were some, you know, still some families who had that purity of fitra, who was only, you know, worshipping the Lord of the Kaaba that was there, but very small in number. So Amr ibn Luhay is from Khuza'a. Now Khuza'a took over, and then from Khuza'a, one of the grandfather and sister of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is known as Qusay bin Kilab. Qusay bin Kilab, actually from the descendant of Quraysh, Qusay bin Kilab fought with Khuza'a and he took over the entire leadership of Mecca. So from the grand ancestors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have mentioned to you the entire ancestors. Qusay ibn Kilab, when he took over, earlier, like the religious affairs, political affairs, war affairs, all these were divided into different leadership. But now, the Qusay ibn Kilab took over from the descendant of Quraysh and Adnan. He had all the responsibility, all the authority. He had Hijaba, the responsibility of the Kaaba. You know, the Kaaba, he had the responsibility. So he considered that to be honor. And then Siqaya, he had the Siqaya and Ifada, he had the responsibility of feeding and giving water to the people who come for pilgrimage, Mecca. You know, from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we all know the Hajj was taking place. People from Arabia and right from the world, they used to travel there to Kaaba. And that is the one reason why the Abraha came. He wanted to destroy the Kaaba because the attention was towards the Mecca and the Kaaba. So he wanted to destroy and he wanted to divert the attention towards him. So that's the reason why. So people, even though there was idol worship, there were people following the tradition of Ibrahim alayhi salam as well. Siqaya. And then Nadwa. Nadwa is a place, it's like a parliament where the place of Mashura. Even that was responsible of Qusay ibn Qilab, he had the responsibility. Al-Lawa, again we call it, Al-Lawa is where he had the authority of declaring war. So the entire leadership was under Qusay ibn Qilab. And Qusay ibn Qilab, he had a son known as Amr. So Amr is very, very important. He had another name called Hashim. Qusay ibn Qilab's son, one of the sons is Amr. Amr was named as Hashim. So this is, we say, where Hashimi, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather, Hashimi, how this entire matter, Hashim, the great grandfather, Hashim, how it came into. And Hashim had a brother called Muttalib. Hashim had a brother called Muttalib. So Hashim got married in Medina, and then he actually traveled to Salafin, Gaza, that area, the Sham area, and he went for trade and he passed away there. And he left behind a very young child, a very, very young child. And then that young child was named as Shaiba. That young child was named as Shaiba. But this young child was living with his mother in Medina. Hashim, he was well known for something. He was, you know, feeding, he introduced something very new. When it comes to Makkah, they were feeding just normal soup. But Hashim, what he did is not only soup, he put, crushed the bread, you know, the bread crushed crumbs. He added into the soup and he gave that, that's the word Hashim, that's why they named him Hashim. And he was a very respectable person. And then, after Hashim passed away, his brother Muttalib, he traveled to Medina after a while. And he went and he was talking to the family of Hashim, his wife, and he said, you know, the son Shaiba belongs to us. Hashim is one of our leaders in our tribe, so he has to grow up amongst us. So there was lots of, you know, differences. They were back and forth. And eventually, Muttalib was able to convince them. And Muttalib brought Shaiba to Mecca. When Muttalib brought Shaiba to Mecca, they have not seen this young man. They thought this Shaiba, and okay, again, why he was named as Shaiba? Shaiba means when he was born, and in a young age itself, he had some grey hair. Shaiba means a person with a grey hair. So that's why he is named Shaiba. But then, what happened? The Shaiba was brought, and those days, everybody thought this Muttalib, this is Shaiba, is the slave of Muttalib. Those days, they used to take slave in young age so they can train them. So they called Shaiba as Abdul Muttalib. That Shaiba is only known, is only the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we spoke about Qusay bin Kilab, we spoke about Amr ibn Luhay from Khuza'a, from Khuza'i clan, and then from Amr ibn Khuza'i, Qusay ibn Kilab took over the leadership. From Qusay ibn Kilab, what happened? Different sons of him took different responsibility, and Amr had one responsibility. Amr is one of his sons. Amr has the responsibility of feeding. So Amr's son is Shaiba. Amr passed away in Gaza, in Palestine. Now we know the people of Gaza and Palestine, the difficulty that they're going through. It's a historical land. Lots of pious people, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, he's been buried there, so it's a topic on his own. We're not going to go detail on that topic. So, Amr, the great grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is Amr. He passed away in Palestine, and he got married in Medina, where his son was growing up in Medina. So, eventually, son came back to Medina and Mecca. And then he was growing up with his uncle Muttalib, so that's why he was named as Abdul Muttalib. That is the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a lot of interesting story with regard to the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You remember I told you that when the Jurhum left Mecca, they actually closed the well of Zamzam, so no one knew for 300 years, approximately 300 years. The Zamzam well was disappeared. No one knew where it is. Now, the responsibility of feeding, it comes from the feeding for the people of Mecca, people of actually the pilgrims. it comes for the descendant of from the Qusay. One of the Qusay's son is Amr. Amr's descendant, that is Amr's descendant, is what you call Shayba, that is Abdul Muttalib. Now, after Abdul Muttalib became elderly, you know, he was big, he grown up a big person, then what happened? They gave him the leadership. So there was a concern about feeding, and he was always about worried about how to do this. So he had always concern, and he wants to do that. Again, there was certain good qualities this Arabs had, and especially the descendant of Ismail alayhi salam, and especially the Quraysh and Banu Hashim. And amongst them, that they're very generous, and they were very proud, and they were very grateful that Allah has blessed them with all this ni'mah so they can feed people. So we will talk about, and they were very ummi. Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَالَّذِي بَعْثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ. Ummiyin means they're very pure. They were not corrupted. Their mind was not corrupted philosophically, no other religious thought, nothing. They were very pure, good human beings. They want to, you know, they had a lot of, bravery, shuja'a. They had a lot of calm. They're very grateful, you know, very, very honorable people, very generous people. All these good qualities they had. So among these qualities, Abdul Muttalib was very much concerned about how he's going to feed the pilgrims. So that is his responsibility. When he is concerned, for 300 years Zamzam is not there, Abdul Muttalib starts dreaming continuously the same dream. In that dream, very, very important. In the dream, first day in the dream, a person comes and says, you know, you go and dig. This is something very important. Fur barra. When he says, what is barra? What do I dig? And then the next day, it comes and says, you know, Ahfur Faiba. Faiba. Says Faiba is something which is precious, something pure, precious, big Faiba. See, he don't understand what he means. Then eventually says, Ahfur Zamzam. Go and dig Zamzam. He doesn't understand. He says, Wama Zamzam. What is Zamzam? Qal Zamzam la tanzifu abada wa la tuzam. تسقي الحجيج الأعظم هي بين الفرس والدم إن النقرة الغراب الأعصم إن قرية النمم. Now, in this dream, eventually the last dream gave so much of indications. Where is Zamzam? It says Zamzam, it will never dry off. It will never dry off. It will flow continuously. تسقي الحجيج الأعظم, and it will actually feed, and it will actually quench the thirst of Hujjaj, the pilgrims, and that is between the dung and the blood, dung and the blood, dung of the camel and the blood, and it is in the naql ghurab al asam. They are near between dung and the what do you call blood. There is a crow with a white leg in the qaryatin namal, in the colony of ants. Near the colony of ants. No, all these indications were given. Next day, Abdul Muttalib, he was going around the Kaaba, he was doing the tawaf. Eventually he saw they have slaughtered a camel, and he sees dung and the blood. And he sees up, there is a crow with a white leg. And then he sees next to that, there was a colony of ants. So immediately, he remembered the dream, and he says, this should be the place. So what he did, he called his son. He had only one son at that time. Son called Haris. He called the son and he started digging. When he started digging, people of Quraysh, you know, other families, other lineage came and they made, issue because it's near the Kaaba. But he never bothered about it. He went on digging. Eventually, he discovered the Zamzam. Alhamdulillah. He discovered Zamzam. For 300 years, the Zamzam disappeared. But everyone saying, you know, our ancestors, about the well, which Ismail alayhi salam, it was a blessing from Allah. They were speaking about it, but they never knew where it was because Yurhum closed it up. So now at this moment, now again who discovered is the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdul Muttalib. this is known in the qissa, in the seerah as qissatu hafr zamzam. It is the story qissa of Hafr Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Rasulullah ﷺ, Zamzam. It's a unique story. So now what happened? All the tribes in Quraysh came and they say they all start claiming ownership. They all start claiming ownership, and then there was a fight. Then eventually he said, okay, we will go and sort out this matter. How to sort out? They used to go travel again to a witch. Normally, they say, okay, we go to this witch, a person who tells all this, you know, what happened. And they decided to travel again to Sham, that is the area of Palestine, Lebanon, and Jordan, and Jerusalem. So while the leaders from each family, they all got together, and Abdul Muttalib, that is grandfather of Rasulullah, traveled. Along the way, whatever water they had, they finished the water, and they were starving to death. So they thought, okay, now we have no way to go in the middle of the desert, no water, no food. What shall we do? We will dig our own graves. And then if one person dies first, other person can bury him, then eventually only one person's dead body will be exposed, rest will be buried. So we will respect the body. You know, this is one of the qualities Quraysh had. So everybody start digging the grave, their own grave. And after a while, Abdul Muttalib said, no, we cannot be so coward. We should not dig our grave. We must try as much as possible, look for water. So everyone went around and looking for it. No one could find water. But again, Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, found water. It's mentioned that the water started gushing out from his under his feet. But when he actually discovered how the water gushed out under the feet of Ismail alayhi salam, similarly, the water was gushing out under the feet of, Abdul Muttalib. Then all the leaders of Quraysh, they came and said, you know, if Allah has protected you by blessing you in this desert, the water, so we don't want to dispute that the Zamzam well, you are the owner, you have the responsibility, you know, we all will share. So they actually, the dispute what they had, who has the share and who will be owner, they solved that and they got back. But when that incident was taking place, Abdul Muttalib took a vow because he was very weak, because he had only one son. Others overpowered him, so he could not stand his ground. So he took a vow, Allah, if you grant me 10 sons, you grant me 10 sons, I will sacrifice one. And the last lesson I mentioned, I concluded that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to refer to himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to refer to himself saying that, Ana ibn Zabihatayn, I am the son of 2 sacrifices. One is Ismail alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguarded. Other one is his father Abdullah, where his grandfather Abdul Muttalib supposed to sacrifice his father Abdullah. So what happened? He took vow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with 10 sons and 6 daughters, 16 children. Allahu Akbar, 10 sons and 6 daughters, so 16 children. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father Abdullah was the youngest. Now when Allah blessed him with 10 sons, so he wants to fulfill his vow, the promise that he gave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a sacrifice. So he decided how we're going to do those days. What they used to do, they used to go near the Kaaba, they used to have arrow and spin the arrow, and then they will do how they're going to, you know, this. So he had a confusion, how is he going to do, and which son he is going to actually sacrifice. Among 10 sons, who is going to do? So he decided he's going to keep all 10 sons and spin the arrow and wherever it directs it. Actually, in the narration it says, he went and consulted the witch and she told to do that way. So it was pointing at Abdullah. It was pointing at Abdullah continuously. And then eventually he decided to, you know, sacrifice Abdullah. But Abu Talib, one of the eldest sons, and all the Quraysh came and said, no, you can't do this. if you do this, this will become the tradition of Arabs. Every one of us have to sacrifice one of our sons, so you cannot do that. But he said no. He was very adamant. He said, I gave the word to Allah. So this is something very important. Arabs had something. Even they will sacrifice their life in order to uphold the word that they gave. This is one of the good qualities, the Quraysh, they had it. They had that, you know, they will never go behind. You know, once they say the word, they will stand for it. This is some certain good qualities they had among them is that. So they said, no, we need to find out another way. Again, they decided to go to the witch. Witch said, okay, if you cannot do that. So what is the, compensation, the blood money that you give amongst you? Then he says, then they say 10 camels. Then the witch says, okay, you keep 10 camels in one side and keep Abdullah on the other side, then spin the arrow. And whenever it points at Abdullah, you add another 10. So keep adding until it points out towards the camel. So they accepted that, they came and they start doing that. And then it starts keep pointing at Abdullah, one after other, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. Eventually, the number of camel have reached 100, and then after it reached 100, the arrow starts showing towards the camel. And then everybody said, oh, Alhamdulillah, now we have reached, you know, we have reached to some conclusion. Abdul Muttalib said, no, 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 I need to do it again. He did it again, second time, third time, it was showing towards the camel. So he slaughtered 100 camels and he fed all the people and he refused to eat even a bit of the meat, he said, because this is the meat that he kept. Wow, so he refused to eat anything. That's the same hukum applies when you have a nazir. The person who had nazir, that means who had vow, and his own family members don't consume the meat. He has to give it to others. In udhiyah, you can consume. In aqiqah, when after the childbirth you give udhiyah, you give in Eidul Adha, that you can consume. But when you have a nazir connected to any of the sacrifice, that meat, even that hukum still applies among us. It continued. So Abdul Muttalib followed that. He said, I'm not going to eat. But then so much of meat remained, he even fed the animals, he fed the birds. So he was named as Mut'im. He was named as Mut'im al-Tayr. He was named as Mut'im al-Tayr, the one who fed Mut'im al-Tayr fi sama, the one who fed the birds in the sky. So he had that. So he was very generous. He did. So Abdul Muttalib, incident, is the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Abdullah was safeguard, that is the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a very interesting story. Two important stories. One is digging and recovering the Zamzam, well of Zamzam, after 300 years, after Jurhum left, that was done by the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His grandfather's name is Shaiba, so his nickname is Abdul Muttalib, but he was known as Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib is son of Amr. Amr's nickname is Hashim. He is well known in the name of Hashim. And Hashim, he was named that Hashim because he's the first person with the soup. He used to crush the bread and feed. So Hashim, that's how he got the Hashim. Hashim is one of the sons of Qusay, who actually took over the entire leadership of Makkah from the tribe of Khuza'a, from Amr ibn Lu'ay al-Khuza'i, the one who introduced idol worship. He had all the authorities, but after he passed away, he gave it different authorities for different sons. The great-grandfather of Rasulullah got the responsibility of feeding the Hujjaj, and then the grandfather had that responsibility, and he discovered the Zamzam. Again, he was given the leadership. He was respected in Makkah because he was given the entire leadership, because again he unified, because he discovered the Zamzam, and then so all the Quraysh respected him. And then when they had the dispute about the Zamzam on the way in the desert, again he discovered, Allah blessed him with water, so he was given that. So when Abdul Muttalib was a leader, at that time only the Abraha is coming actually to attack, and then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father Abdullah got married to Amina bint Wahab, that is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother Amina, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this family, that this family, the descendants of Ismail alayhi salam, from descendants of Ismail Adnan, the descendants of Adnan the Quraysh, from the descendants of Quraysh, Husay ibn Kilab, from the Husay ibn Kilab's descendant, Amr, that is Hashim's children, a child, Abdul Muttalib, Shayba, the Shayba's child, Abdullah, and from Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was born. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the year known as Amul Fil. And again, another story with regard to the leadership of the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The leadership of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandfather is amazing. When Abraha came with, you know, a huge army to destroy the Kaaba, he was calculating it. He took all information, data, everything. What is the number, how's the strength of the strength of the army. And eventually he tells all his people, they are very brave, they were ready to sacrifice their life for anything, but he actually calculated and he took, you know, he was always used to protect his people. He said, the people, you see, when we compare the strength of the army of Abraha, so we cannot, you know, actually face them, we cannot challenge them. So what we'll do is we will protect ourselves, we will protect our houses and belongings, and we will ask Allah to take care. Because Abraha is not coming to destroy us or kill us. Abraha is coming with his army to destroy the Kaaba, Baytullah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's house of Allah being taken care of. So we know on the way when Abraha was coming in the desert, he actually took certain sheep and camels which belongs to Abdul Muttalib and some of the Quraysh tribes. It was taken by him. So they have camped a little further away from Makkah and they are waiting to come and destroy. Then Abdul Muttalib went to speak to the general. And when he went and spoke to him, he never discussed about anything, no negotiation. He said they were respecting him. He went and said, you know, I came here not to discuss anything. You have taken some of my cattle, some of my, you know, sheep. So please give it back. He was shocked. You have come here to destroy the Kaaba. You are not here negotiating about that. He said, no. I am the owner of these sheep and camels. The Baytullah is only Allah. You take care of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Quraysh continuously about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Didn't you see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with the ashab, the companions of elephant, ashab al-fil? أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَكُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ. Didn't I make their plot, their planning, their strategy? Didn't I destroy it? Didn't I, you know, make it unsuccessful? تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. And didn't I, you know, send the birds, and the birds, you know, were stoning those, you know, elephants. This is amazing. So on that year, when this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Baytullah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defeated the army of Abraha, on that year, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is born, is known as Amul Fil. So we will summarize for today here. Inshallah, our next lesson will be in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the birth of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and surrounding the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how that took place, and we'll go to other important factors. Yeah, before sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, got his marriage of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will go into other factors. That this will be from the birth till Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's marriage, or whatever incident happened, inshallah, that will be in our next lesson. So hope you will revise, go through. So we have done three sessions. First session is introduction. Second session is the ancestry of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, entire genealogy, the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third session, some important incident took place in in the time of Abdul Muttalib and then Husayn ibn Qilab, that entire in ancestry, they are very important people. Let me conclude by telling you this is something very important. Noble people are born from noble families. So that's why it's very important. Nobility has to be maintained right through. So if we don't have a noble ancestry, so we must become the person who starts that nobility in our genealogy, in our thing. That's how Allah chose Husayn. Husayn was great. Then from Husayn ibn Qilab, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Adnan, Quraysh, and Husayn, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him. So from Husayn, how Amr his son, and then Abdul Muttalib, they are great people. So similarly, if we can do some good, if we become pious, connect to those people, inshallah, that will continue in our genealogy. So that's why we learn these things, because Allah's blessing comes to people who are in Allah al-tayyib, la yakhbalu illa ayyib, Allah is pure, so He accepts the pure ones. So all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is born from a very noble, respectable families, father and mother and grandfathers. So we must try and do that. What happened before us, not in our control, but while we are living, if we can create that nobility within ourselves, when we are young men and women, we are growing. So we need to have that aspiration that we should be great people. We're loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pure. Stay away from zina. Stay away from haram. We need to have the qualities of the, Quraysh. They had those noble qualities. That is very, very important. We need to learn those qualities. There are mentioned about, the certain Quraysh. They had a lot of bad, within them. There are people who had bad qualities doing zina, consuming khamr and all that. But amongst, in the family of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was, lots of goodness remained protected. One, they say, zakah. They are very intelligent people. They are very intelligent. They have so much of memories. Arabs had so much of memories. For example, if you take honey. Honey had, of course, about more than 80 different names for honey. They used to remember. If you take the fox, there was about 200 different names to different type of fox. And if you take lion, they had different, about 500 names for lion. For camels, they loved camels. They had about 1,000 names for camels. Different names they used to call it. All they used to remember. If you take the sword, it had so many, almost, 4,000, 5,000 different names for sword. So they remember the ancestry, the entire family lineage. So they were very smart, intelligent people. So we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for intelligence. So we need to try and get that. Again, they had karam and sakha. They are very generous people. Very generous. Generosity was there. So among them, there is suja'a and muru'a. They are very, they had the manhood, muru'a. And suja'a, they were very brave. They were not coward. It's very important. Those who are brave, though not coward, they only will make changes. And then, they didn't like to be under. That time they were superpower, Roman and Persian, they were not slaves. They loved freedom. They want to live free. They didn't have. Similarly, they had wafa'ul ahd. If they give a promise, they will go all over to fulfill. And sidr, they used to speak truth. And we know the story of Abu Sufyan when he went to Herakal. Abu Sufyan at that time was not Muslim, but when Herakal asked about Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke the truth. He said every single thing, it was truth. He said no, he cannot, he did not listen. Same way, they had sabr, resilience. They were very patient. Any type of difficulties, anything, any calamity, harm, they was able to, be patient, and they were able to overcome that. They call quwwatul ihtimal. They had the ability to take over any difficulty. And Rida bil yaseer, they had a good quality with simple things. Their life was not luxurious. They were living a simple life. They were not going behind luxury and all that. And they had special things. They used to invest their wealth in having a lot of children. And then especially they want to have a lot of boys. And they invest the time in doing business, trading. They travel any part of the world without any fear doing trading. And they invest their wealth in cattle. You know, they used to have lots of cattle, you know, camels and goats and sheep and all that. This used to be. So they live a very simple life. And similarly, they had Quwatul Badan and Quwatul Ruh. They had very high aspiration. They were very mentally very strong. Physically, they are very strong. Mentally and physically, they are very strong. And then they had another very important quality. Af in dal makta. They will fight, and once they overpower the enemy, they will forgive. They want to prove that they are strong, and eventually, once they are above, they will forgive. So they were had afu, always forgiving. They had this quality. So, and these are the qualities where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from them, and these are the qualities which were the means of spreading Islam right wrong. I want you to mark these qualities, because we need to see how we can inculcate this, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this, the sahabas continue to have, and these qualities where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged and our Islam encouraged to have. So inshallah, our next session will be from the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the incidents surrounding the birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the marriage and all other things inshallah will continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم.